Amos 1, I want to talk about Amos as a person. Verse 1, the words of Amos, who was among the herdsmen of Tekoa. Well, Tekoa, we're told in 2 Chronicles 20, was a wilderness. So we get the impression that he was a very isolated individual who was right on the bottom rung of society. And yet he's a major prophet, really. He sees a vision about both Israel and also about Judah. And he is called upon to witness in very high places to the absolute rulership of the nation in which he lived. And he talks here in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 about international situations. Tyre, Edom, Ammon, Teman, the palaces of Bozra, Rabbah. He would have never gone anywhere near these places. And yet this absolutely, humanly speaking, unqualified individual is used to make this witness about international matters and to witness particularly to kings. And when it comes to chapter 7, he is actually thrown out of Israel, the 10 tribes. He is, as it were, disfellowshipped because they don't like the message that he preaches. And his answer to that is, look, I'm a nobody. I tell you that I am just genuinely speaking God's word. In Amos 7:14, he says to Amaziah, this is the priest of Bethel, and he says, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. That could mean, look, I was not from a particularly pious background. I was not a member of any of the sons of the prophets, the schools of the prophets. He goes on, I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore figs. So sycamore figs were the cheapest sort of figs, the kind of figs that grew out there in the desert. So he wasn't a gatherer of figs, but of sycamore fruit, which was the cheapest, the commonest, and the least tasty kind of fruit, the only thing that grew out there in the desert. And he's described as a herdsman, and that is a specific word. And the idea is that he shepherded a very ugly, stunted breed of animals. Herdsman is the word nokid, because he shepherded nakad, this stunted and ugly breed of wilderness animals. And it led to a proverb, viler than a nakad. These animals that he herded were really the lowest kind of animals that it was worth even trying to herd. So then he then was a nobody. And he says, look, I was a nobody. You having a go at me for what I'm saying, I'm telling you, this must be the word of God, because I was not a prophet, neither was I one of the sons of the prophets. I was a herdsman, a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And Yahweh took me from following the flock and said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. Now, verse 16 of Amos 7, now therefore listen to the word of Yahweh. In other words, because I am such an unqualified fella, I'm telling you that that is my qualification, and I am therefore preaching the word of Yahweh, so therefore listen to me, because I am so unqualified. This is characteristic of how God operates, that he uses those who are not humanly qualified. You think of how the first witness to the risen Lord Jesus was Mary Magdalene. She was a woman, and female testimony was not accepted, neither in Roman nor in Jewish courts. She was a former prostitute. She was the woman out of whom seven demons had been cast, which I understand to mean that she had been severely mentally ill and had been cured of that. But she had a reputation as mentally unstable and as a former prostitute. No wonder when she, of all people, comes to the men and says, look, I met Jesus. He's actually risen from the dead. Her words, we're told, seemed as idle tales. They were like, oh yeah, Mary, yeah, she's having one of her turns, having one of her bad days. She was, humanly speaking, the least qualified. When Peter stood up and preached the most powerful sermon, the most powerful piece of evangelism that I think is ever recorded in the scriptures, to the point that thousands of people are struck in their heart, in their conscience, and 3,000 of them say, "Would you baptize us?" He baptizes them, and yet he's later mocked as an unlearned and ignorant man, the Greek word agrammatos, without grammar. He clearly, in the way that he spoke, he showed that he didn't particularly pay attention to grammar, that he was not a grammared person, he was not an educated person, he'd not finished school. He was a fisherman. Why do you want to go to school and you're a fisherman? Grow up mucking around with boats with your dad and your brothers and your family and your cousins. Yeah. That's who he was. And yet, it was that lack of qualification which became his qualification. You think of Moses. He argues back with God. "Look, who am I? I can't do this. I can't go and talk to Pharaoh. You know, I've got a stutter. I've forgotten Egyptian. I've been 40 years just a desert herdsman," just like Amos in a sense. Think of all these people, so many of the prophets. You know, Jeremiah, "Me? Be a prophet? But I'm too young. I'm a kid. I can't do this." And the more you look at all these people, you see that it was their very lack of human qualification in a secular sense which was their qualification. You see it very clearly with Amos, as I say, that he was a herdsman down there in Tekoa, absolutely middle of nowhere, bottom rung of society, and when they later tell him, "Look, go away, we don't believe you," he says, "Look, what do you mean? I am a prophet, because I tell you, I was not at all raised as one. I'm not from that background. I was not to the manner born. I was just a gatherer of sycamore fruit out there in the desert, herding around very, very stunted animals. Therefore, hear the word of Yahweh, because I'm telling you that my lack of qualification is therefore obviously my qualification." So as soon as you and I feel, "Me? Do that? No. I'm not the right person for that." This is how God loves to work. This is where it is all, to me, a bit mythical to say that, oh, well, somebody goes to Bible college and becomes educated in the scriptures and educated in how you should speak from a podium, and they have education and training in platform speaking, in public speaking. Yes, this person is well qualified. No, sure, in sort of human religion, in human churches maybe, but no, this isn't how God works. And as I say, look for all the scriptures here in Amos, a classic example. This is not how God works. He uses people who are not to the manner born. What I've seen, a lifetime spent in evangelism, running churches and stuff, the real evangelists are those who absolutely might appear not qualified at all in human terms, but they are the people who talk to other ordinary folks and persuade them to come to church, to hear the gospel, who persuade them of Jesus. And so as soon as you feel, "I am not qualified," that is your qualification. Because God values humility more than anything else. If you feel that "I am well qualified, I have studied at a Bible college, I am this, I am that," oh, I'm not against studying at Bible colleges, by the way, I'm just making a point. But as soon as you think that "I am qualified," in a secular sense, well, you're probably not. And it's not that God uses people's natural talents. See, he does and he doesn't. I think that in real spiritual terms, he very often uses the people who do not have human strength and qualification to do his real work.